Let's turn to the book of Psalms in the 67th chapter and read just a little bit. I love to read from the book of Psalms, the writings of David. Some of the richest writings in the entire Bible is the book of Psalms, which are the writings of David. The reason for that is because David was scourged in such a terrible way. David, who thought that he could get by with wrong in the sense that he got lighthearted and allowed the fear of God to slip out of his heart, feeling that he was special in that God had been so good to him, he became careless. And in so doing, he really went through a terrible ordeal. And the thing was so terrifying and so awful until David wrote scriptures, or that is writings that has become the scriptures. He wrote things that is so great and so mighty that they've never been excelled so far as writings are concerned. And there are writings that seems to fit every form of life, every condition of life. And as you read, you find a great consolation. Because David sought the Lord in such a way, the Lord made known to him so many wonderful things, all because of his sufferings that was likened unto Christ. Even his son Solomon, which made the statements that I am my father's son and was taught at my father's side or at my father's feet. And even Solomon, as these great things was transferred over to Solomon, brought him into a place to where God could say, Solomon, I will endow thee with wisdom such as man has never known. In that he was tutored from the heart of David, God saw even from the very beginning that that tutoring would be sufficient to bring him the greatest wisdom that any man had ever had. So the Lord visited him, having before prepared him, and told him that he would give him great wisdom. But you can perceive the wisdom of Solomon here in the life of David before it was ever conveyed to the heart of Solomon. The 67th chapter of the book of Psalms, reading at the first verse, God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, Allah, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Salah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase. And God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Salaam, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai, it itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance. When it was weary, Thy congregation hath dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hath prepared of thy goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil. Though ye have lain among the pots, ye shall be as the wings of a dove covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold, when the Almighty scattereth kings in it. It was white as snow and Solomon. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, a high hill as the hill of Bashan. Why leap ye, ye hills? This is the hill which God desireth to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them as in Sinai, in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belongeth the issues from death. But God shall wound the head of his enemies, and the hairy scalp of such a one as goeth on still in his trespasses. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan, I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea, that thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies, and the tongue of thy dogs in the same. They have seen thy going, O God, even the going of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. The singers went before the players on instruments, followed after. Among them were the damsels playing with timbrels. Bless ye God in the congregations, even the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin with their ruler, the princes of Judah, and their counsels, the prince of Zebulun, and the princes of Naphtali. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. Because of thy temple at Jerusalem shall kings bring presents unto thee. Rebuke the company of spearmen, the multitude of the bulls with the calves of the people, till every one submit himself with pieces of silver. Scatter thou the people that delight in war. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hand unto God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord, Selah. To him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old, lo, he doth send out his voice, and that a mighty voice. Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dry. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. Go, God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel, because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. Then I wept and chastened my soul with fasting. That was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gates speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord. In an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me. In the truth of thy salvation, deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me. And out of the deep waters, let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up. And let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their tables become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecuted him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor, and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. For God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. Now, it's needless to say that in numbers of places here, I read to you where Jesus is praying, or the Spirit of Christ is making intercession through the mouth of David. It is obvious that again and again that I read that this is said here in this that I read to you. People who do not understand spiritual things and do not know what the Scripture means when you read from the Old Testament, you couldn't understand what I'm saying. But these are the very things that Jesus referred back to that the Spirit had said concerning him through the mouth of David. Jesus would refer back to it and say, remember what the Scripture saith, such and such and such. And the Bible said, for comforters I found none. They gave me gall for my meat. These things, you remember how that they took these things and they done this unto Jesus. And Jesus referred back to it saying, and the Scriptures needs be fulfilled. And then he says, for the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. And how that Jesus, when he stood in the temple, referred back to it and he made the statement, for as it is written in the Holy Scriptures, he said, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. And all through the Scriptures, we find this thing as it speaks concerning the Lord Jesus, saying, thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men. The terms is used that he ascended up on high and gave gifts unto men. Still again, referring to the wonderful things that God spoke of through the mouth of Jesus. So then, all through the times of the prophets, all through the times of David, Abraham and others, the great, wonderful Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit was working in the hearts of those men. Even when it spoke in one place and said, let another his bishopric take. The Bible said that the Holy Ghost, before Judas was ever born into the world, that the Holy Ghost spoke of the fall of Judas and what would happen to him. So then we see that the great Holy Ghost is always, from the beginning of the world, spoke concerning the sufferings of Christ and concerning the church and the great things that God would do. We should be a great people, a happy people, a people that's full of rejoicing and praises. We should come to the house of God with thanksgiving and with praises, entering into his courts with thanksgiving and praises, ready to listen and ready to grow in the grace and knowledge of God rather than coming to the house of God. You know, ready to just kind of slump and just sit there waiting for the end of the service or just waiting to hear whatever's going to be said. But we ought to put all of our energy, all of our drive, all of our desire, all of our ambition into doing something for God. When we come to the house of God, this ought to be our drive. This ought to be our ambition. It ought to be our desire. Every day when we wake up, early in the morning when we first awake, it should be our ambition and our desire to do something for God and to fulfill the scripture where it tells us to love him with all of our strength. We need to put our strength into it. You know, you need to put your strength into serving God. A lot of times this is why it pleases God so well when a person gives in the offering to support the gospel or to help the poor and needy, because that represents their strength. They put their strength into that, and if they take that and don't use it for the lust of the flesh, but turn it toward God, then they put their strength into God's work, and they're loving God with their strength. But see, we need to do more than that. We need to come into the house of God and learn to praise God with our strength and love God with our strength, to give ourselves to God that we might be in continual praise all the time in the house of God. Not just to sit still, but praise God, to love God, and to glorify God in his great name. So then when we read here in the book of Psalms, David uses the terms, O Lord, my sins are not hid from thee. If we could remember that our sins are not hid from God, we should always remember that God sees our sins. God knows every sin. God knows every wrong. Our sins are not hid from God. So we should always love the Lord, always praise the Lord, always confess our sins and look to the Lord, because our sins are not hid from God. If we do not confess our sins, then we're in trouble with God. How do you understand that if you don't confess your sin, that you are in trouble with God? If we do not confess our sin, then we are in trouble with God. Isn't that right? But the Bible tells us that if we confess our sin, God is just and God will forgive us of our sin. And the Bible tells us that if I confess my sins and if I forsake my sins, then I will prosper in this world right down here. God will bless me. A lot of people don't prosper because they don't forsake their sin. A lot of people confess their sins. They cry a little bit, weep a little bit. You know, they do the very same thing that Esau done. But that doesn't mean anything to God unless you're going to get away from him. You know, something bad happens to you and you start weeping and crying and you say, my God, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do it, Lord. I know that I've done you wrong, but just as quick as the storm passes over, just as quick as the wrong goes by, just as quick as the evil is passed over, then you're right back to the same old thing again. Isn't that right? Just as quick as God lifts his wrath and everything's fine, you go right back to the same mire again. See, God doesn't like for us to do that kind of thing. God doesn't want us to do that kind of thing. It highly displeases God when we do that kind of thing. What we need to do is confess our sins and then forsake our sins. Confess our sins and say, God, we're sorry. Don't wait till some great crisis comes, some great thing happens to us, but confess our sins all the time. Be confessing our wrongs and our sins, asking God for forgiveness and asking God to help us. Always saying, Lord, help me, and really mean business with God. Do something for God. Don't make a plan for God and just kick it aside. Don't enter into a covenant with God and then forget about it. Don't set up a program for God and then say, well, it was no good. Find out to begin with what God's word is and what God's pleasure is. And God's pleasure is His word. And then when you find God's word, you find God's pleasure, find God's will, then enter into a covenant with God. Enter into a program with God. Get a vision for God and then do something for God. And don't back off, because the Bible tells us that God hath no pleasure in them that draw back. He said, my soul shall have no pleasure in them that draw back. So we don't need to draw back from the things of God, but we need to drive in with all of our heart and do something for God. I find a great joy in serving God, a great enthusiasm. And instead of wanting to draw back or instead of wanting to go back into the world, my heart is completely absorbed in the things of God. My soul cries out for God day and night. My soul literally mourns and cries for God because I have seen the great things of God that's out ahead. You know, if you could think of it like this sometimes, if you could just stop and reason a little bit and just say, now, Father, I as an individual, whether woman, whether man, or whatever, I as an individual right now, I have the wonderful opportunity of becoming a great son or a daughter of God. I have the opportunity of becoming a prince or a princess in the kingdom of God. I have the opportunity right now, not dead to tomorrow, but right now I can accept Christ and I can become a great, great prince or great princess in the kingdom of God. I can be a prince forever in the kingdom of God. I can be happy forever. I can be strong forever. I can be rich forever. I can be youthful forever. All throughout eternity. I can start now and it'll never be taken away from me. Now, don't you know that when Jesus considered that, when Jesus thought about that, and Jesus looked at that thing and realized what it meant to be a great prince? The Bible calls him the Prince of Peace. When Jesus realized that, don't you know that it didn't bother him to lay aside everything in this life? Everything in this world, just lay it aside, forget about it. Because look at the great joy that he saw out there. Look at the life that he saw, that he was a prince, a great prince among men. And all he could see was laying aside everything to please God. Why not lay it aside? Why not get rid of everything for Christ's sake? Why not be just exactly like God wants you to be? My, if God wants me to be a prince, then why not say, yes, God, I lay aside everything. I don't reserve anything to myself. Paul said, this I do, forgetting those things that are behind. I count all that I have, you know, as just loss. I just lay it aside. Why not? Because I've gained everything. He said, I count it all as loss to gain Christ. Because in gaining Christ, I gain everything. If I am a prince with God, the Bible said Israel travailed before God and wrestled with the angel and prevailed as a prince before God. If I am a prince with God, if I prevail in prayer and I stand up before the things of this world and I prevail to hold on to the things of God, then am I a son of God and I am a prince with God. And if I am a prince with God, then I own all things and everything belongs to me. Why shouldn't I rejoice? So then why shouldn't I lay aside everything? Everything is mine anyway. Everything in this world is mine. Everything in the world to come is mine. There is no death to me. There is no sorrow to me. There's no heartaches to me. I said, Brother Pike, there's all kind of problems to you. All kind of heartaches. I know there is in the flesh. The Bible said in this world you'll have trouble, but in me you'll have peace. I'm speaking of in Christ. In Christ we have no problems. In Christ we have no poverty. In Christ we have have no worry, we have no death, because the Bible tells us that God has heard us in a time accepted, He has secured us. So then today I stand as a great prince with God. I am as a prince, not because of my ability, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ. For He hath made us under our God's kings and priests. Hallelujah. He hath raised us up and made us to sit together in heavenly places and called us sons of God. Sons of God, you know, son of a king is a great prince. Did you know that? What could be a greater prince than a son of God? And so then today, God has made us great. David of old, God had blessed him in a great way. Though David had never come into what you and I have come into. See, the Holy Ghost had not yet been given, but the Holy Ghost was there moving on David, doing great things for him. But David experienced such great and mighty things in God until he was literally shook, just literally shook. And just seeing what he did see, it made him so desirous for the things of God, so longing for the things of God, until he was ready to lay aside his crown, to lay aside his great place of being a dignitary in the earth, of being a celebrity, lay aside everything and just follow God with all of his heart. And when he speaks of God, he said, I love you, Lord. I love you. He said, my heart paineth after thee, Lord, like the heart does the water brook. Can you imagine that? A heart on a hot day running through the wilderness, out across the land, you know, and getting just sweating, you know, and you know how it would be, just thirsting, just dying for just a little sip of water. And David said, my heart, it paints for thee like the heart does the water brook. I believe that when we come to the place to where we are thirsting after the things of God, then God's going to do something for us. Until Bethlehem, or the people of Bethlehem, get hungry for the things of God, or get thirsty for the things of God, I don't believe we're going to see what we want to see at Bethlehem. Now, God's going to see it because God's got a plan. But here at Bethlehem, we're not going to see it until we get hungry and we get thirsty in God. We need to get hungry and we need to get thirsty in God. And if we don't get hungry and thirsty in God, we're going to find problem after problem after problem. I said to you not too long ago, I said, folks, remember this one thing, that more people are going to be falling, more people, and you're going to be shocked, more and more. I said, it's not over yet, and more people are going to be falling, and you're going to be shocked more and more as things happen, because Satan is still on the rampage. Satan is still working. And I cry out a warning, and I scream at you, and I try to tell you, and I try to get you to listen, and I come out sometimes, and it sounds real hurtful to you because I say these things to you. You know, but you don't listen. I come in here a lot of times, and when I come in here and I start screaming and I start hollering, and somebody look up here, well, what's wrong with him? Here we are following him. Here we are honoring him. All of us sitting out here, and none of us, we wouldn't do nothing to him. Here we are, such a wonderful, you know, group of people, and we love him. And what's wrong with that preacher? But my dear God, if you could stand up here sometime and see the evils that I see out there and see the devil glaring back at me, and knowing that I can't say anything. If I do, I'll interrupt homes, and if I do, I'll tear the church all to pieces. And I've got to stand up here and I got to wrestle and try my best to get the evil out and cut the cancerous parts out and try to save that life. I've got to be able to try to reach it and do all I can. And I get all balled up and I wrestle and I turn, and somebody sitting out there, and I'm wrestling against their minds because they are not submitting either. Instead of being grown up in the Lord, instead of being prayed up in God, instead of being my strength and having confidence in me that something going on that they need to get in there with me, I have to wrestle with them while I wrestle with the other devils. And then see, if I don't do something, the devil sits there and glares back, he didn't see me. Or SCLC sits there and says, now do something about it, do something about it, do something about it. And I stand up here and I see his ugly face, and I think, my God, what can I do? What can I do? That's just like God. See, God's up yonder in the heavens, and he looks down and he sees the devil harassing you and harassing me and cutting us off from the things of God and getting us over here. And he finds us in such a place that we're cut off from God and he can't get to us. See, the Lord don't know what to do because we're taken in hostage by the devil. And the devil's blackmailing God to that extent, threatening to do something to us if God even makes a move. It puts us in a precarious place. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to do.
But I'll tell you what, if we keep praying and talking to God, something will happen after a while. After a while, God will hear our prayers, and something will happen. Daniel kept praying. He kept fasting, kept calling on the name of the Lord. And after a while, God came through. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Glory to God, you keep praying and calling on the name of the Lord. And after a while, something will give away, and something will start breaking through. Daniel, he didn't quit. He kept on a praying. He kept on a fasting. He kept on a calling on the name of the Lord. And after a while, God doubled the forces, so to speak, and Satan went out, and the victories of God came. And the next thing we find is the angel of the Lord standing before Daniel, admiring Daniel and looking at him and saying, "Oh, thou great and mighty man of God. Thou beloved man of God," he called him. When we prevail as Israel did, Jacob did, wrestling with the angel. I'm afraid, you know, that some of us don't wrestle enough. I'm afraid that we get a little bit of weight on our mind. We get a little bit of temptation. We get a little bit of pressure. And we don't wrestle. We don't fight back. You know, somebody crosses our grain just a little bit, and we flare up and bristle up, and then we strike back. That's the way we do it. See, we're ready to strike back. Whereas the Bible said when Jesus was reviled, he didn't revile again. We should be to the place when somebody says something to us, we shouldn't revile back at them. We shouldn't be all up in the air wanting to say something to them. That's not the way to do it. But when people says things against us, we ought to humble our hearts. Submit ourselves to God. Let God take judgment. Let God take vengeance. It's not our place to take vengeance. It's our place to submit our hands unto God. Or our hearts under God, under the hand of God. It's our place to come under subjection to God. And the Bible said if we humble our hearts, humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, then he will exalt us in due season. He'll raise us up. But see, if we're going to be a bunch of gossipers, a bunch of backbiters, a bunch of fault finders, always having a little nitpicking party. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Always around the sewing machines and around the coffee pot and around the table at home. We're always going to have a mess. Always are going to be a mess. And you're going to be right in the middle of the mess because you're going to be one, the one that's stirring the pot. Somebody say amen. Amen. But I'll tell you what, the Bible said move the talebearer and the strife will cease. Isn't that right? I got some people, they come around my house and I tell you what, they can bear more tales that they haven't heard. It is amazing how that they can do it. Somebody say I love Jesus. I said it's utterly amazing. They stand around my house and they hear my conversation with the brethren out around the different places and they carry all kind of tales. You know, David said, Lord, I restored that that I didn't take away. These people say that and bear tales of that which I didn't say. I was informed tonight that I had made the statement that Brother Carl back here and his wife wasn't living for God. Somebody say, I love Jesus. So it won't get so quiet. Now, ain't that something? Said, that's what Brother Pike said. Why, you know I haven't said anything like that. Whoever you are that went to him, you know that you told a lie. And you know that you told a lie. You ought to apologize to them or whoever it was because you know you lied about it. I haven't said any such as that. I spoke of them being on the other side of the road. I spoke to Jimmy, I spoke to some of the others about it. And I spoke of the thing that happened and what it has to do with. And it's true, just exactly like I spoke it. And I said, everyone on that side of the road over there that didn't yield their land over here, that there's going to run into problems. Not because I desired the land, but because God had a program and had to follow that. And it's happened just exactly that way down the line. Everyone down the line has happened that way. And I said when Carl and him went over there and the land went into their name that it meant problems over there until they could get the thing straightened out because it signified that. And the Lord allowed that because Carl and him coming here hasn't got in with us like they need to get in with us. And I trust that they will. But I tell you something. God is doing something and when people lie, they get in trouble. Somebody say amen. Amen. When people lie, they get in trouble. That's where all the problem comes in. And they tear down people and hurt people that are trying to do something for God. What we need to do is to tell the truth and strengthen the hands
of those that are trying to do something. Did you know you never hurt anybody by telling them the truth? But when you lie and twist things up, you hurt folks. You tear people down. You don't hurt people by telling the truth because they know better themselves to start with. See, if you come and tell me something and it's the truth, I knew it. Why should I get upset? If I do something wrong, I know that I've done wrong. And you come to tell me about it, I might blow up about it if I'm that kind of person. I might blow up about it. But truthfully, down in my heart, I'll respect you even if I do blow up because I know that you told the truth because I know what I've done. But if you lie on me, I ain't going to have no respect for you at all. So then you don't hurt people by telling the truth. You help people. They gain a respect for you and they get in and they go on with God. Now, and there's been two or three other things that said. I got wind of some more things. I wish I could remember them all. I tell them all right here. You know, and make you face every bit of it. But anyway, they're always telling something. You know, there's a Bill come to me tonight. Somebody has said I was going to start calling them out in here. It's bad. And I ain't said no such as that. You know, you that heard me, I made the statement. Somebody said it was congregating down here in the men's fellowship room. And I said, if they keep on congregating down there, the first news you know, I'm going to do them like I did some of the ladies over here and call some of their names out down there. And I am, fellas. You better staff them down there because that's the way I've done the ladies. Oh, you'll never do me that way. I'll do it just as sure as you're sitting in this church tonight. You know that I'll do it. So then staff them down there. That's what I said. See, I didn't say anything about calling anybody out because you've got problems that I wouldn't dare call you out and bring you up here and embarrass you. Because I don't want to kill you. I don't want to hurt you. I want to help you. But I'll tell you one thing. Those things that you've got in your life, you need to get out of your life because God is going to bring them out. There's nothing done in the dark. It won't be brought to the light. Everything is done in the dark. It will be brought to the light. And the thing is, you might as well get it out because God is going to bring it out. Sooner or later, it's going to come out. If you don't want it to come out, then don't have it in your life. I might say, well, it's already there, Brother Pike. Get it under the blood. Cover it. Confess it. Get away from it. Somebody said, well, I done told God I'm sorry about it, but you haven't quit it. You're not sorry about it. You're just sorry that it might come out to the light. But if you're sorry about it, you'll confess it and you'll forsake it and you'll get away from that thing. See, because David said, Lord, my sins are not hid from thee. They're not hid from thee. All things are open with him with whom we have to do. If you've got something in your life that's wrong, if you're sitting around the table and you're talking about the preacher, you're talking about your neighbor, you're talking about somebody else, if you've got thoughts in your mind about somebody else, you need to get it out of your mind. You don't need to think about somebody else or somebody else's companion or somebody else's loved one or something that's precious to somebody else. You don't need to do that. That's trespassing. That's wrong. You get bitter in your mind and you think evil things and haughty things and you think bad things. And the Bible said God will feed you the fruits of your thoughts. After a while, you'll find out that you're feeding on the very thoughts that you thought towards someone else. And the very thing that you have been thinking towards somebody, that's the very thing that you'll wind up being guilty of. Somebody say amen. Amen. See, I help you if I tell you from here. I can't help you if I go tell somebody else, but if I tell you, I help you. And that's why I tell you like I do up here. Now, it's not always easy. It's not always cheerful. It don't always make you feel good. That's why sometimes when we come in here, everything is all balled up and bound up, and somebody said, you know, I can just almost hear them say, my God, where's all our shouting services and our good times? When are we going to have all of them? Just as soon as you get rid of all the other, we have room for them. You know, you can't bring nothing into a place when it's filled up with something else. You've got to empty something out. And I said, well, we got plenty of room in this church. I tell you what, you don't have any room in your heart. See, you got to get everything out of your heart. Now, when you shell everything out of your heart and stop regarding iniquity, seek the Lord with your whole heart, then we'll get back to that kind of service, that kind of having a good time in the Lord. All right, I love you, and I come up here to try to help you and tell you the truth. You say, well, Brother Pike, You haven't helped me. Maybe I haven't, but I've tried. See, there's others that say I have helped them. And I tell you what, if you'll take what I have told you and apply it to your heart, if you'll incorporate it in your life, I guarantee it'll help you. But if you just listen, say, well, it don't mean nothing to me. It isn't going to do you any good. But if you'll incorporate it in your life, the Bible said, don't be a forgetful hearer. Don't hear and then turn around and forget it. You're like a man beholding your face in the mirror. And then you go your way and you forget altogether what manner of man you are. But if you look into the perfect law of God, into the laws of liberty, and continue therein, the Bible said that man shall be blessed. Whatever he does shall prosper. Amen. So then, when I say something up here, give the more honest heed to it. Take heed how you hear it. Incorporate it in your life. Don't let it be another sermon. Don't let it be just another lesson. But say, my God, where does that thing fit me? What he has said, I wonder what he's talking about. How does it fit me? Lord, let me make an adjustment here. And you know you got the Holy Ghost. You that have got the Holy Ghost, he'll guide you into all truths and all righteousness. He'll reroute your mind. He'll reprogram your heart and mind. And he'll bring you into an understanding that if you'll follow after it, you'll grow up into that perfect man. You'll grow up into that perfect man. All right, I love you and I want to help you. And that's why I exhort you from night to night as I do. David, in his exhortation to me, is one of the most fitting things that I know of for human life, because he experienced such awful ordeal. Now then, don't be too quick to pull the trigger when you set your sight on somebody else, saying, ha ha. The Bible said, don't look on your brother in the day of his calamity, lest God be upset. You get God upset, and then he'll turn on you. He'll lift his wrath off of the brother, and he'll turn on you, and then you'll be in a bad shape. But the biggest thing to do is turn around and say, God, be merciful. God, be merciful. God, help us. Be merciful. Because it could be him today. It could be you tomorrow. Could be me the next day. See, you might need a helping hand. I might need a helping hand. They might need a helping hand. Now you say, well, Brother Pike, you think that day after tomorrow you're going to have to go back and ask God to forgive you because you're going to do something wretched? As far as I know, I'm not planning it. God being my helper, I don't believe I'll ever do it, because he's kept me for many years, and I believe his grace is sufficient to keep me to the end, because I'm trusting in him and his strength. But there's one thing about it, even though I feel that way and believe that way and know that he will do it, yet I still don't feel like bringing my sight in on my brother and shooting at my brother and mocking my brother. But I do feel this one thing, and that is sin and ugliness is ugliness. And wrong is wrong, and God will burn your soul in hell for it, and you've got to leave it alone. No need to make a pretty sight out of it, because it ain't pretty. Sin's ugly, it's a killer. And you need to get away from it, and if you get away from it, you'll be all right. If you don't, then you're in trouble. All right, let's stand together. God is so wonderful. He's so wonderful. The Bible said, make straight paths for yourself, lest that which is lame be turned aside, but rather let it be healed. To have, a lot of times you say, well, how can we have the faith that we need? Straight paths. You know, people are trying to get faith in every way, but the right way. And faith comes from the right way. And Christ is the way, and he's the right way. Make straight paths for yourself. That way the Lord will bless us, and the Lord will help us. Listen to the voice of the shepherd, because he watches for your soul. He's trying to help you. And he might see a little bit farther than you're looking. It might be that he sees something. Well, he didn't tell me. He might have told somebody else. He might have not been in a position where he could tell you. A lot of times, a minister can't tell you. I wish that I could tell some people some things. I wish that I could. I've found out at times in confiding in my wife, which is the closest one to me, that things has got so heavy on her till it's almost broke her down. And then in conversation, not meaning to, she would mention something, and then I'd be in problems. And I've mentioned things confidently here, confidentially to some of the fellas. And my lens, it wouldn't more than get it said before some of them would go straight and tell it. I don't mean it wrong, fellas, because I got a lot of good men here. But some of you men and women alike, you just thrive off of telling something. You just do it. That old devil of gossip and tell Burns got a hold of you. You thrive off of that thing. Just if you hear a whisper, off you go. You got to tell your wife and you got to tell your neighbor. And you can't hardly wait to get on the job so that you can tell the man that you're working with what you've heard, the news over the weekend. You know, it'd be a whole lot better if he'd come to the men's meeting, if he'd come to church, if he'd come to the little group and hear the news for himself. Won't you just tell him, say, hey, you know, I heard Brother Pike say something the other day. So, well, what was that? So, why don't you go ask him? He'll tell you. And wouldn't that be a lot better? That way you wouldn't even be a talebearer. All right. Let's do something for Jesus. Folks, if you're not doing anything for Jesus, let's do something for Jesus. You know, sometimes the ladies tell things that Sister Betty says. And I say, Betty, what in the world did you say a thing like that for? She said, George, I ain't even as much as thought that, let alone said it. Said it ain't ever even come to my mind. Said, where in the world did they get such a thing? So, you know, it pays not to be a liar. And it pays not to be a talebearer. It just causes strife. Blessed are the peacemakers. You ever tried making peace? You say, how do I do that? By not telling a lot of things that you tell. Some might say, but they said it. They said it. They said it. I know they did. I know they did. I read where Jimmy Carter, he cursed. But I ain't going to curse to show you how he done it. He said it. He said it. He said it. I read it. And right down under there, a judge cursed and they published that too. But I ain't going to tell you what he said. See, you don't have to tell it. The Bible said a wise man concealeth the matter. Maybe God didn't intend for it to be told. Some things God doesn't want told. He tells you. And if he finds out he can't trust you, he won't even tell you. Take one of these little children in here. One of the little fellas, 10, 9, 11 years old. You know he's dying with leukemia. And you know the doctors done said he's going to die. So you just got to tell him. You just got to get over and say, hey, boy, I feel sorry for you. You're gone or you're dead. Now, wouldn't that be something? Oh, somebody said, I'd never do that. That's exactly what you've done. You've been worse than that. You're killing eternal souls. Souls that have to spend eternity somewhere. You're killing it. You're bringing eternal damnation, an eternal punishment, an eternal loss by killing that little babe of Christ, that little life. You're killing it. You're a murderer. You tell them, whereas the physician might be able to work with that kid if he can keep his courage up, keep the kid going all right, he might be able to bring something about to where he can do away with the disease and spare the little one's life. But if he gets a hold of it and he despairs of life, he's really in a bad fix. All right, let's sing this little chorus. I'll go with him through the garden. Can you sing it with me? I'll go with him and through the garden, I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him all the way. Where Jesus leads me, I will follow. Can you sing it with me? Where he leads me, lift your hands, will you? I will follow. Oh, where he leads me, I
all the way. He will give me grace and glory. Oh, He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory, and He'll go with me, with me all the way.
You know, when Jesus was in the garden, the Bible says that His sweat became as great drops of blood. Have you ever prayed like that? His sweat literally turned into blood. He was in such great stress and strain that He sweated blood. His sweat actually became great drops of blood as He prayed. Prayed when He did not have to pray, but He prayed for you. And He prayed for me. Did you know Jesus? Do you realize that His suffering, it wasn't the nails. His suffering was having to leave His home in glory. Having to leave His home in glory. Could you imagine anybody living on that plane of living, in that kind of life, and then come down to a pit called a human body and have to dwell in that human body for that many years in a land of strangers and something He wasn't even relative to, living in that strange place among strange things, dwelling in it, being cut off from the Heavenly Father and the glories of that great world. Oh, what a horrible nightmare. A living death as He walked here for the years that He was here. And then after that awful, evil confinement, went to Calvary. And then down into the deep depths of dark despair, down into the depths of the pit. David said, "Don't let the pit close her mouth upon me. Don't let it close upon me, O God. Hear me. Deliver me from the pit." You know, if you cry, you can be delivered. The Bible said Jesus' sweat became as great drops of blood. And inasmuch as He cried unto God, the Bible said in that He cried and offered up prayer with many tears, with strong crying, in that He did that, He was heard. If we do that, we'll also be heard. Paul, after all of his fasting, after all of his praying, after all of his living for God, spoke of the prize, the mark of the high calling, and said, that is the resurrection of the dead. The prize is the resurrection of the dead. Said, I press forward toward that prize. I don't say that I have obtained it, Paul said, but this I do, forgetting those things that are behind, I'm going to keep on till I do. Can you imagine that? A man having lived like he lived, he said, I haven't obtained it. I don't say that I have, that is. Didn't say he hadn't, but he said, I don't say that I have. But I'm going to keep on trying. I'm going to make the resurrection of the dead. Are you trying? The Bible said, strive to enter in. Many shall try and not be able. See, the preachers have made it too easy for the people, saying, don't worry, Jesus did it all. Don't worry, there's nothing for you to do. Jesus did it all, don't worry. But oh, let me tell you something. The Bible says, strive to enter in. Do thy diligence. Endure to the end. Cast not away thy faith. Mortify the deeds of the body. Do everything you can, friend. Then what Jesus done will apply to your heart and life when you fall short and your strength fails. And I promise you that you'll get in. But unless you do everything you can, I can assure you that you will not make it in. You can believe all you want to, but you will not enter into the kingdom of God. Therefore, do all that you can. Then believe with all of your heart. Faith without works is dead. Works without faith is dead. When you pray, believe. Put them both together. Do all you can, and then you won't be lost. You'll make it. When you stumble and stagger, Jesus will give you strength. He will see that you make it in, and His righteousness will override your failure. And there won't be a breach in His promise, nor in your life, toward God. Can you lift your hands up? Can you do that? I'm telling you the truth. I'm preaching the gospel that will take you into the kingdom of God. I'm telling you the thing that will cause you to enjoy and to inherit eternally that wonderful, wonderful thing that God has promised to His darling Son, Jesus. I'm telling you the right way. Don't confuse it with anything else. Accept it the way that we tell you, and it'll work. Hallelujah. Father of heaven, as we lift up holy hands made holy by the blood of Jesus through the righteousness of the Son of God, I thank you tonight for your word and for this congregation. Father, the world around is waiting, dying, because they cannot hear the word of God. But may the word of God go forth to them, Father. May we have a little part in sending forth the truth. And may everyone that hears it, oh God, Father, may they multiply like sheep. And dear wonderful God, if 100,000 people hear it, Lord, through all of the outreach of our lifetime, Father, may they multiply to another 100,000. And may that 100,000 multiply to another 100,000 as they share one with another. And the great gospel of our Lord continues around the earth, Father, until we can have a great ingathering and a great harvest for your kingdom. Help us, dearly beloved God. Father, I pray thee tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus that the revelation of Jesus Christ would be in the heart of every minister across the world tonight, and they'll preach the revelation of Jesus Christ, that men may repent of their sins and believe on the Son of God. And Lord, that they may come into the rapture. Father, as the translation sets in, Lord, that as everything gets ready for that great, wonderful move into the heavenlies, have your way tonight, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Have your way tonight, Jesus. May the great Holy Ghost come down upon us. May the great Holy Ghost be felt in our hearts and lives tonight. Father, for we love you, we feel you, we thank you for the great overshadowing of thy word and thy spirit. Visit with us every night when we come together. Let us hear from the lovely mouth of the Almighty God and the great Holy Spirit. May he always speak to us tender things, Father. And may we follow him. May we honor him. May we obey him. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Jesus, sweep over my soul.